If you've ever felt confused about nutrition, specifically what, when, and how much to eat for fat loss or muscle gain, or really just how to heal your hormones in perimenopause, this episode is going to be perfect for you. Tune in to learn the most foundational lesson of nutrition you need to know, how to know what, when, and how much to eat to thrive and get results in perimenopause, and 3 steps to get you on the path to peace in your nutrition. Let's dive in.
What's up, sisters? Welcome to the Period Whisperer podcast. I'm Bria. I'm your host. If you're new, I'm so happy you are here. I'm your perimenopause and menopause sister, your holistic trainer, hormone specialist, translator of your female body. I'm a recovering people pleaser and hustle addict turned body whisperer and hormone decoder. And I am here to help you de-stress your body, decode what it is saying, become the CEO of it, and own your own health, energy, and weight loss again. This show is for you, the overwhelmed, overworked, underappreciated step woman who dreams of a body they feel strong, energetic, and sane in. The woman who knows that she shouldn't just wave the white aging flag and believes in a body and life of peace, love, and purpose. But you don't just know how to get there yet. So if you are stuck in your body, your energy, your life, you are in the right spot. Let's lean in and learn what our bodies are saying to us.
Well, hey there, sister. How's it going out there? How are you feeling in your body? Have you been feeling anything different these days? Any less energy? Any frustration? Any stiffness? Are you feeling like you're recovering from your workouts if you're doing them or not? Maybe you're feeling bloated. Maybe you're feeling more PMS symptoms than usual. We want to know these things, right? When we pay attention, we can start to recognize patterns. We can also start to listen to what she's saying to us. And maybe if we're feeling a little tired, instead of cramming our body with some more cortisol-inducing caffeine, we can rest a little more, take a little break. Listening is the key to hearing the whispers of your body, right? They always say, great leaders ask good questions. And, or maybe it's the other way around. Good leaders ask great questions. Either way, ask yourself questions. Ask your body how she's feeling. What's going on there? If you have ever felt confused about nutrition, you know, there are so many options out there to choose from. And the truth is that nutrition can either fuel you or just drag you down. But knowing how to determine what, when, and how much to eat for you in perimenopause is really the foundation for your success in fat loss, in energy gain, and of course, hormone healing, right? So we're going to break it all down today. We're going to talk all about one of the most foundational lessons of nutrition you need to know, especially in perimenopause, how to know what, when, and how much to eat for you specifically, and 3 steps that are going to get you on the path to peace in your nutrition. But before I dive in, I want to connect with all my sisters out there. If you are a fitness person like I am, I have definitely over the years found fitness to be something I really enjoy. We know that, you know, resistance training and flexibility and all that, but specifically resistance training is so powerful for really wrapping our bodies in armor, protecting it, protecting our joints, protecting our bone density, and of course, increasing our metabolism. These are all really great things. And I know a lot of you out there are big fitness people. So I wanted to recommend a great podcast out there that I have loved. If you're looking for, you know, some really great fitness advice that's tailored to women, I want you to check out Fit Women's Weekly Podcast, anywhere you get with your pods, with Kendall Boyle. It's a fitness, nutrition, and health podcast for women. It's a top 0.5% podcast, and I've really enjoyed binging it and listening to how real Kendall is. So if you don't already have a podcast you love, check that one out. And even her Instagram, because she's got some really great doable quick workouts and quick workout moves that absolutely move the needle and get the job done. Okay, so let's get into the goods here, because I think that I know for myself, you know, first of all, I spent a lot of years kind of trying to outwork out my nutrition, trying to avoid it, trying to think it didn't matter that much. And it can be really confusing. There's so many options out there. And I honestly, for me, I just, all I wanted was someone to tell me exactly what to do and when to do it. Although when I did have that, I still didn't always find it easy to follow. I had would sometimes have cravings still, or I felt like I was white knuckling through it. And I would have learned through this process and better understanding our hormones is that there really is no one perfect way of eating for anybody. That's why nobody can just tell you what to do. And that's why some things work for some people and sometimes work for others. But don't get frustrated by that, because I'm going to break it down and help you better understand. There are certainly foundations of nutrition that you're going to see across the board with any type of eating plan or any type of healthy eating plan. So there's foundations there, right, that we need to eat, that we need to eat good quality food, that we want to listen to our body when it's hungry or when it's not hungry. But I want to support you guys specifically around nutrition and perimenopause, because when we're dealing with a hormone imbalance, it can be super frustrating. You can't just fix it with a couple of tweaks sometimes. And clarifying this piece is such an empowering piece. For me, now that I have my nutrition more locked in, now that I can listen to the whispers of my body, I'm able to tell if I'm eating enough, if I need to eat more, if I didn't eat enough earlier. And when we lock this piece in, it's so powerful, because if I don't eat on time for my body or I don't eat enough on time for my body, it really can throw off my whole day. And it's not a big deal here and there. It happens to all of us. But when it's consistent, when we're missing the mark day in after day out, that becomes a stress on our body, right? We all recognize stressors that aren't hidden, right? When you eat something that doesn't settle well and you have indigestion or bloating or gas, that's a pretty quick, loud stressor. But if we're not eating for our body, what, when, and how much, then that alone is what we call a hidden stressor. And we might not recognize it right away, but the cumulative effect, the compound effect of that can really cause trouble. So first, I think when it comes to understanding what, when, and how much to eat, we have to understand the energy supply and demand in the body. When we are beginning our reverse puberty, perimenopause, around the age of 35, no matter what, no matter what else is going on in your life, like any other transition, it's an added workload. It's a greater energy demand, right? We get energy supply from four main places in life. We get it from sleep, right? When we sleep, that's like our batteries recharging, things are, you know, organs are doing their self-cleanse, you know, cortisol is being reduced, like memories are being stored. So we get energy from our sleep. Of course, we get energy from nutrition, right? What we eat can either take away our energy from quality pleasure and joy, right? We all know what it's like when you fall in love, when you go to a concert, when you experience something new, like you're traveling and it's exciting. We get natural energy from that. And of course, we get energy from functional movement, like getting out for a nice walk on a beautiful day can energize us. Stretching, a good yoga class can energize us. So those are the four ways we supply energy, of course, to our body, getting out into the world. And then, of course, we create energy demand through stress, through heavy workouts, right? Which is by nature, you know, when we're working out, we're creating a greater demand on the body so that it changes. However, when we don't have the energy to supply that demand, that's when we start to go into what we call a catabolic state, where the body's breaking down faster than it can repair. And we see this in those of us who have, or women who are exercising a lot and not getting any results, because we're in that catabolic state. And we create energy demand from transitions in our life, like perimenopause, right? Something new is happening in the body, so there's a greater energetic demand. Just like every month in a normal cycle, in our luteal phase, when the body is either preparing to house and create a human or slough off for that month, like slough off our endometrium layer, it's an added workload. There's more stuff, more transitions happening inside. So we feel that in our luteal phase, right? Especially in our highly fertile years, we feel a little less tired, a little more tired, a little less energized. And of course, we create energy demand from things like toxins. toxic load in our environment. So the environmental toxins that we're experiencing that, you know, come from our cleaning products, our beauty products, our hair products, our air around us, the water that we drink, and food, right? What we eat, and of course, potentially the chemicals on what we eat, will cause another workload on the body, right? Because if you're eating something and it's got extra chemicals on it, then the body now has to deal with those chemicals. No matter what we do, when we eat, it's such a big piece of the puzzle because we eat for energy. It's one of those big four that creates energy supply. But if what we're eating creates a greater energy demand from the body than the value of the nutrients, which is different from calories in, calories out, right? If we are eating processed foods, that creates an inflammatory response. It creates, you know, digestive upset. It creates a lot of demand for the body to deal with those toxins, you know, especially if there's added toxins on there. And it might not have a lot of nutritional value. So now the demand is higher than the nutrients we're actually getting from that food. And that's where a lot of us can run into problems. And I think we understand that piece. But when we're going through a big transition, and hey, this can be moving, it can be a new job, it can be having a baby, it can be getting married, it can be getting divorced, it can be dealing with illness, it can be dealing with injury in our body. These are all transitions, stressful transitions. But of course, we're going to focus all of this understanding around transition around the perimenopause transition. There's a greater energy demand placed on the body, right? Like I was saying, more is happening. As the CEO, you being the CEO of your health and body, and me being the CEO of my health and body, we have to strategically look at how we decrease the energy demand and increase the supply to accommodate this transition and this new energetic demand in the body. Kind of like a bank account, right? If you're going to incur new expenses, right? Maybe you want to go on a trip. Maybe you need to buy a new washer and dryer. We have to make sure there's enough supply, right? Enough money to meet the demand of this, you know, this new money demand happening. Otherwise, problems happen like debt and things like that. And the same goes on in our body. So we know right now, if you're over 35, there's a greater energy demand in the body. And we need to make sure that we are reducing unnecessary demand and increasing energy supply so that the body can stay in balance and instead of breaking down, can be building up. That's what we're going for here. And it's such a powerful thing to understand when it comes to our nutrition. We need to make sure that we are meeting the demands of our body and the body is going through a greater demand. So I have three kind of key steps that help us understand how to break down the what, when, and how much to eat. Because this is something that I get asked a lot from you guys, and I have certainly been in that position in my life where it's like, what should I eat? When should I eat? How much should I eat? You know, sometimes it seems like a full-time job taking care of yourself. I had a client say that to me, and I agree. And if we don't take care of ourselves, trying to keep the pace that we keep or accomplish the things that we want to accomplish in this life while feeling unwell is way harder than that full-time job. So we always want to prioritize this piece first. So here we go. How do we get, let's break it down. So into these three steps. Step one is to first cut back on the energy demand of the body, right? Which, you know, here's the benefit. We're going to do a little less, right? We're going to try to do a little less so that the body can manage this transition that it's going through. And you can apply this. We're applying it, as I said, through the perimenopause transition. But if you are about to go through, you know, a month in your career where you know it is way more demanding, or maybe, you know, someone you love in your life is going through an illness and you know it's going to be more stressful and you need to be there for them a little bit more, or maybe you're starting a new career, this is a great time to take a look at the other energetic demand in your life and draw back a little bit and make sure the supply is there so that you can not end up sacrificing your own health for the output of other things going on. So we want to, step one, begin to cut back on energy demand. What that looks like is taking a look at our workouts. You know, if we are working out and not seeing results from those workouts, we're obviously in that catabolic state. The energy supply and demand isn't working. So we want to pull back just to our functional movement again. We want to say, okay, right now my energy supply is not meeting my energy demand. It's wreaking havoc in my hormones. And I need to get that back to basics here. So we want to pull back our workouts to things like 7 to 10,000 steps of walking a day, you know, functional stretching and yoga and movement that way to release any pent up stress in the body. We want to cut out inflammatory foods because inflammatory foods create a greater energy demand in the body. We want to cut back on things we can and should say no to in our lives. And sometimes this is a tough one. You know, a lot of us get a little hustle addicted. We like to self-identify. And I was one of the, I'm not fully in recovery. I'm working on it. I was one of these people too, where, you know, my identity was tied up in my productivity, how much I accomplished. But there are things in our life that we don't need to say yes to, especially during a time when the energetic demand is high. So we can start to scale back on some of those things. So no, you don't need to be on the PTA. No, you don't need to agree to go out if you don't feel like it. Little things like that. We can cut back on energy by demand by re-regulating or reviewing our regulation of our blood sugar. So what that looks like, of course, is making sure we have really consistent eating patterns. Because if our body is wondering, when am I eating? How much is it going to be? You know, we want to bring it back to a really consistent place where we're eating within 2 hours of waking, eating enough to feel full and satisfied for 4 to 5 hours. And then we eat our lunch, and then we eat enough at that lunch to feel full and satisfied for another 4 to 5 hours until dinner. And then we focus on those three main times when we eat. And because, and I think what's so important here is there's a lot of talk about the benefits of fasting, and there's a lot of great benefits of fasting, but when our blood sugar is dysregulated, when our hormones are wonky, we're having symptoms and struggles in perimenopause, or we're not getting results, then we need to make sure we're bringing it back to those sort of kindergarten foundations of eating three meals a day. And if you're waking up at 6 a.m., now you have breakfast at 8, you're having lunch at 12 or 1, you're having dinner at 5 or 6, then you're still getting a 14-hour fast. Now, I'll say this, it's a small caveat here. If you do this, if you pull it back to these three meals and you are full and satisfied in between, and you start to struggle a little bit with your sleep, it might be that your blood sugar is still dysregulated at night and we don't have enough in the tank to have a quality night's sleep. So that's when we can consider adding in a snack, a high quality protein, maybe a little bit of carb snack an hour before bed for that regulated blood sugar. But the first step, and that kind of answers your when, right, is really to start to pull back on the energy demand of our body. Again, we're eating those three consistent meals a day. Those are your whens, starting with 2 hours after waking. Step number two, once we have been able to pull back that energy demand, is to increase energy supply, right? And we increase our energy supply first, of course, through the nourishment on our plate. So we want to make sure we're getting the micronutrients and the fiber and the micronutrients that we need from vegetables and plant foods. So making sure every single meal has plant foods. We want to make sure we have 30 grams of protein at each of these meals. So vegetable at each of these three meals, 30 grams of protein at each of these three meals. We want to make sure we're giving ourselves space for quality sleep. So trying to wind down and get to bed for 10 o'clock, because between 10 o'clock and midnight are our deepest sleep opportunity hours. So we want to get the most bang for our buck here. So being in bed to fall asleep around 10, you know, making sure we've given ourselves at least an 8-hour window to sleep in. You might not sleep during that whole time if you're struggling with sleep, and that's okay. But resting for that period of time is really important. And eating for your metabolic type. And this is a big one. I won't dive into it all this way, but there's a reason that some people can thrive off of a much higher protein keto style nutrition plan and other people cannot. And there's a reason some people can thrive off of a completely plant-based vegan meal plan and some people cannot. And it has a lot to do with your metabolic type. So we do need to make sure, and you can do testing for this, but you do need to make sure we are eating the right macro balance for your metabolism. And we can also do that by just paying attention, and we'll talk about that in a minute. We also want to increase our energy supply through increasing pleasure in our life, right? Finding ways to try new things, challenging your mind, getting outside, orgasming, like having more pleasure in your life brings energy supply in quite naturally and beautifully in such a powerful way. And that's something a lot of us are starved for at this age. If we haven't been feeling well for a while, if we're overrun with all of these to-dos, we often forget the things that bring us pleasure, that, you know, that are so important. So if you haven't taken yourself out and done something new, a cold plunge, or gone to some live music, or met up with some friends for a fun hike or fun activity, or anything like that, it's time to do that. And maybe you're not an outdoorsy person, or maybe you're not a social person, but either way, you want to find something new for you to learn to stimulate that joy piece in your body. Once you've achieved this balance again of energy supply and demand, which really looks like sleeping fairly well, having consistent energy throughout the day, feeling like you aren't dealing with any cravings anymore because you are eating enough at your three meals a day, that's when we can start to shift into step three. But the only way we know how much to eat. So now we know, right, we know when we should eat, what we should eat is always going to begin with vegetables and the 30 grams of protein, of course, and then carbs and fats as your body feels good. The how much, and really even the when, comes down so much more to our own tracking in ourselves. And this is where, as I said earlier, I was often in this place where I just wanted someone else to tell me, you know, how, what, and when to specifically to eat. But this is where the gift of perimenopause comes in. Only you know what is best for your body, but you have to pay attention. And some of that takes a little bit of studying. So one of the most important things we do here before we move into step three is to take a couple of weeks while you are figuring out, you know, the what, when, and how much, to simply write down when you ate, what you ate, and an hour later, write down how you feel. Your food should give you a better sense of well-being. It should help you, again, feel full and satisfied to the next meal. It shouldn't give you digestive upset. It should really overall help you feel calm. So if you are tracking in there, whether your food is making you feel a bit more, whether you feel a bit more anxious, maybe you feel really lethargic, maybe you feel distracted, maybe you feel jittery, maybe you feel hungry again already within 2 hours, we can start to track that back to what we are eating. And this is the work, right? We often think like meal prepping is the work, and I hate to tell you it, but because there's all these great services out there that we now can pay for to have food even delivered to our door. What nobody can do for you is write down what you ate and how you actually feel in your body. So that's the work, sis. Like, that's what we need to do in order to really be the CEO of our body and tie that back. And when you put that work in, it doesn't have to be forever. That's the good news. It only has to be a couple of weeks of you tracking. Then you can start to recognize cues from your body like, oh, I'm a bit hungrier right now. Oh, you know, that didn't settle well with me. Why? Why didn't it settle well with me? And we can follow the bouncing ball and connect the dots back to what it is that we did and make those changes. And nobody else can do that for you. I mean, a coach will help you, support you, and keep you accountable and motivated and give you direction on that. But that's the work that you need to do. You need to pay attention to how your body feels, right? So once we've cut back on energy demand and we've increased our energy supply and we've seen that aspect level out by recognizing how much we should eat, when we should eat, you know, what we should eat, that's when we can move into step three, which is when you clarify your goal. Fat burning? Is it muscle building? Is it energy maximization? And you can add in the energy demand again for this and pay attention so that you can start to increase the supply for that demand if you need it, right? So if you find yourself in a place where now you're like, okay, I'm not having any digestive issues anymore, my PMS has decreased, I'm sleeping pretty well, my cravings have gone away, like I know what's keeping me full and satisfied in between these three meals, then you can say, okay, well, what I really want to do is like burn a bit of belly fat and actually put on some muscle here. Then we start to add in the demand, those workouts for that muscle development, and pay attention every single day to say, okay, I have increased the demand. My supply is still the same. How's that making me feel? If you're running out of energy in the afternoon, if you're not recovering from your workouts, like you're sore for days, if you start to struggle with your sleep again, then we know our energy supply is too low. So then we increase our energy supply. And if that feels good, then we can ride that out for a few weeks to recover from the energy demand. If you increase your energy supply to meet the new demand and you're still not feeling well, we got to pull back the energy demand a little and pay attention. We might have some other imbalances to address. But this is the work. Remember, paying attention to your body. And people avoid this. I used to avoid this, but it's the fastest way, right? It's the most direct and surefire way that we will get the answers we want. I know we want someone to tell us what to eat, but only you know what is best for your body. So you have to pay attention. And again, the good news, the best news is that once you figure this out, you don't need to do it again until things change or get stuck or you have a new goal or maybe you start experiencing a lack of well-being again. So it's such a powerful and productive and efficient tool is simply by just cutting back on the energy demand, increasing your energy supply, and paying attention to how your body feels. And in that, you start to really discover what you should specifically eat, when you should eat. Of course, we have a pretty strict plan on that one to begin with, but you'll get to determine how much you eat, right? If you're getting hungry 2 hours after you eat, then we probably either need to look at what you were eating and increase the nutrition in that piece, because your food should help you feel good and stay full and satisfied until the next piece. Don't avoid this work. I know it can seem unsexy and super boring, but it's actually such an empowering piece. When you know how to eat for your body, it makes it really easy to go out and be like, yeah, no, I'm okay. I don't need that. Thanks. Or I'm going to have this when I eat, because you know it's going to make you feel flipping awesome. And this is how women can thrive in perimenopause, is by paying attention to these messages from their body. Because remember, perimenopause isn't happening to you. It's happening for you to pay attention and make the changes now, because we still got a lot of great life left to live, right? We've got decades ahead of us to do amazing things, to experience amazing things. But only if we do this work right now. So now is your time to lean in, be more in your life, and not just less on a scale by paying attention to this piece. All right, sisters, you know, if you need help and support with this, if this is an area where you just need some motivation, or maybe you need some more customized help, make sure you reach out. Check out the Perimenopause Posse. Join us in there, or reach out for a one-on-one consultation so that we can see if private coaching is meant for you. If you're ready to really make that difference, now is your time. Don't wait. Because you know, it doesn't get easier as we get older unless you make the changes. All right, sister, so excited that you were here. Thanks for being here. I can't wait to catch you in next week's episode. Have an amazing day.
Thank you so much for joining me on the Period Whisperer podcast. I want to encourage you to reach out to me directly and message me if there are topics or things you're struggling with so we can address those right where you are at. And of course, if you loved this episode, if you learned something, make sure to share it with your friends and please rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts.